From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 15th day of September 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And Mike Barwinski, a senior trader from Louis Dreyfus, will join us to take up the agricultural energy markets. Also this half hour, we'll hear from the state statisticians in Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, and Nebraska. Yesterday's progress report told us the corn crop was about a full week behind schedule. We'll check to see if that'll cause a problem on the weather front as we close out today's program. Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Here's the way the numbers settled in Chicago on this afternoon. December wheat futures were sharply higher, up 16 and a half cents at 470 and a half. The March at 490 and a quarter, up 16 and one half cents on the afternoon. And the May futures at 502 and three quarters settlement price, up 16 and a half. December corn futures, 346 and a half, 28 and three quarters higher. The March at 359 and three quarters, up 28 and a half. And the May at 369, up 28 and a half. July corn, 377 and a half, up 28 cents. September futures today, 385 and a quarter, up 27 and a half. And next year's December contract in the corn pit, 394. It finished 25 and a quarter higher on the day. Soy complex now beans, November beans at 960, up 51 cents. January futures, 964, 50 and a quarter higher. The March at 967 and a half, up 49 and a quarter. And the May futures at 967, up 49 cents. July at 969 and a half, up 49 and one quarter cents. November soybeans at 941 and a half, up 40 and three quarters. October bean meal at 301.10, up 1780. December bean meal at 298.30, up 1950. October oil at 34.43, 103 higher on the afternoon. And December contract at 34.82, up 103. October live cattle 87, 22 and a half, 17 and a half cents higher. December at 86, 82 and a half, up 15 cents on the day. September lean hog futures 53.42 and a half, up 2.47 and a half. And the feeder cattle in the SEPs at 87, 22 and a half, up 17 and a half. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like on the afternoon. Nearby crude oil futures for the day finished the October contract at $70.20. That's up $1.34. Ethanol at 166.8, 5.8 higher. Natural gas at 334.9, up 5.2. And the RBOB gasoline at $1.78.5, up 4.1 cents. Heating oil, that's diesel fuel, $1.77, 3.4 higher. And the propane contract at 94.9 cents, settled just about unchanged on the day. Gold futures at $1,005, that is, up $5.10. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 9,677, up 50.41 points on the afternoon. Here's a quick look at the weather forecast for the two-state region from our own Ed Keezer. He says tonight the north and central section should be partly cloudy. In the south, mostly cloudy, a few scattered showers. Lows will range from 55 in the far northern parts of Illinois to 63 in the far south and in downtown Chicago. And then tomorrow in the northern and central sections, mostly sunny. In the south, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers. Highs tomorrow from 68 near Lake Michigan to around 80 in the south.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agriculture, Dave Dickey. Join us this evening for another one of our free Illinois Public Media Agriculture Outlook panels. We'll be at the American Legion in Mazan, Illinois. The meeting beginning with a pizza buffet at 6:30, and then at 7 o'clock, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities, Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group, and Jerry Goodell of North America Risk Management Services will give you their take on the marketplace. That's this evening at the American Legion in Mazan, Illinois, with the actual meeting beginning at 7. It's free and no advance registration is required. We hope to see you there.
It's a Tuesday afternoon. This is the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us this afternoon to take a look at what happened in the world of agricultural futures is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, Wayne, let's talk a little bit about this marketplace. What a day it was in Chicago. Why the big up move?
Well, you know, there was the GFS model was indicating that there's a good possibility of a freeze coming down onto the Dakotas, Minnesota, northern Michigan that next Friday, basically on the 25th, some cooler weather approaches and does some things that way. So that along with yesterday's crop progress report, which did not have all the crop as mature as usual for this time of year, sent some fear into some of the traders, some short covering, and then some fund buying along the way that really took this market by surprise and really moved a lot more than what we thought it might.
Well, it moved it a whole lot today. Are you expecting any follow-through in the overnight and then tomorrow?
Well, I think, you know, the noon forecast today, it did validify sort of what the early run this morning said. But the fact of the matter is a lot of the private forecasters are, as you just said in Ed's forecast there, basically not really calling for the frost because a lot of the forecasters do not want to be reading the GFS model over 5 to 6 days out. And that, of course, a week from Friday is a lot farther than that. So they're not quite, they wanted to confirm a few more times before they get in on that. But we imagine that there will be some short covering, some margin call buying that still has to take place after this big move today.
Well, who were the marketplace players today? Do you know?
Well, I think that basically along the way we saw some people that had been overly short this market, thinking we've been talking about the benign weather, that did a little buying with the 5 o'clock this morning forecast and the overnight that way. And then we saw a lot of fund activity, and we heard talk that there's three of the big funds that do receive their new money, and they're able to use it and put it into their buying power on the 1st and the 15th. And, of course, today being the 15th, we saw a little more short covering that way. The biggest thing that made it move so easily, Todd, was that along with these forecasts, a lot of people were just a little scared to add to their already short position, and there was very little resistance or selling pressure that come along with the buying pressure that come from the get-me-out orders.
Technically, what has it done to the marketplace? Are things looking much better, or is it a blip?
Well, you know, that's depending on how the forecasts verify, this could easily turn into be an overreaction to a big market move with the news of the frost. I mean, I think we had basically assumed that we had a fairly benign weather forecast up until this changed and that we were looking at a very big crop. I mean, the one thing that we want to consider now is with a reaction like this is that the marketplace must be feeling somewhat confident that the USDA's usage numbers may be somewhat close to accurate, and they're scared of losing some of the numbers because with the large numbers that we were projecting, just a small frost or freeze wouldn't have made them react as much if they didn't believe the demand numbers.
Anything a producer should do on this day?
Well, I think, Todd, you know, they might want to take a look and see where they're at as far as their sales, where they're at as far as their insurance guarantees, and it might not hurt if they were not up to where they wanted to be to do a few cash sales. Let's not go overboard, but let's take a keep a real close watch here. And this has been an opportunity that we've been waiting and hoping would happen.
Any final word before I let you go for the afternoon?
I think that's about it, Todd. One thing we want to look at, too, also, and remember that the crude oil was up about $2 as we're speaking now.
Right. Thank you much, Wayne.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon, and we'll talk with him again, of course, next Tuesday in just a moment. We'll get an update on what's been happening in the world of the agricultural statisticians. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program and of Commodity Week. You can listen to either of them anytime you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. While you're there, please do sign up for our free weekend newsletter. It's all about marketing. It's a good one. And if you don't like it, that's fine. You can come back to the same page at willag.org on the right-hand side and just hit unsubscribe. It's free. You've got nothing to lose. Check it out, willag.org. And one other note, if you haven't tried this yet, if you can't get to a radio to listen to us, or you can't hear us on the web, how about dialing this number up, 217-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434. We post updates of the opening and closing numbers along with a bit of analysis at 10:15 and 3:15 each business day. We call it our mobile analyst portal. Now up next, yesterday, USDA released its latest crop progress report. It shows corn acreage at or beyond the dough stage reached 93% by the week's end. That was 2 points ahead of last year, 5 points behind the five-year rolling average nationally. 66% of the nation's corn acreage was at the dense stage or beyond. That's 10 points behind last year and 20 points or over a full week behind the average. Denting was active across much of the major corn-producing regions, with most progress evident in the northern Corn Belt, where above-average temperatures and dry conditions prevailed during the week. Crop maturity advanced 4 points during the week to 12% complete, 5 points behind last year, 25 points behind normal. Significant delays in maturity were still evident in all estimating states, with the exception of North Carolina, where progress was on par with the average. Overall, 69% of the corn crop rated in good to excellent condition. That's unchanged from last week, but about 8 points better than a year ago. On the soybean side of the ledger, leaves were dropping on 17% of the 2009 soybean acreage, 3 points behind last year, 19 points or slightly over a week behind the five-year average. Leaf drop most active in Minnesota and Ohio during the week, but remained behind normal in all estimating states following delays earlier in the growing season. Overall, 68% of the soybean crop was rated in good to excellent condition. That's unchanged from last week, but 11 points better than last year. Winter wheat now finally. Producers there seeded 8% of their intended 2010 winter wheat crop during the week, leaving progress at 13%. And that's 4 points ahead of a year ago, but on par with the five-year average. Seeding was most active in the Pacific Northwest and northern Rocky Mountains, where dry conditions favored field work, and in the Great Plains, where soil moisture levels were adequate to help establish germination. Now, here are the statisticians from Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota with updates on their states.
This is Brad Parks, Deputy Director from USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, with the Iowa Crops and Weather Report from the week ending September 13, 2009. Most of the corn acres are now reported at or beyond the milk stage. Corn reported at or beyond the dough stage reached 95%, 4 percentage points ahead of last year, but 3 days behind the 5-year average. Corn reported at or beyond the dent stage reached 76%, 8 percentage points ahead of last year, but 6 days behind the 5-year average. Corn reported mature or safe from frost reached 8 percentage points, 2 percentage points behind last year and 13 days behind the 5-year average. Corn condition was rated 3% very poor, 5% poor, 17% fair, 49% good, and 26% excellent. Soybean leaves turning color reached 64%, 10 percentage points ahead of last year, but 10 percentage points behind the 5-year average. Soybeans dropping leaves reached 18 percentage points, 4 percentage points ahead of last year, but 18 percentage points behind the 5-year average. Soybean condition was rated 2% very poor, 5% poor, 18% fair, 53% good, and 22% excellent. Again, this has been Brad Parks, Deputy Director from USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, with the Crop Weather Report for the week ending September 13, 2009. Thank you.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending September 13th. Normal temperatures with below normal rainfall helped progress corn and soybean maturity. The week ended with temperatures averaging right at 69 degrees, while rainfall accumulations were reported at just 0.1 inch, which was 0.6 inch below normal. Growing degree day units since May 1 are now at 2,610, trailing the historic average by 244 units. The corn crop finished the week at 91% in the dough stage, compared to 98% last year and 100% for the five-year average. 56% of the corn fields were reported in the dense stage, and this compares to 75% 1 year ago and 92% for the five-year average. 6% of the crop was reported mature, compared to 14% 1 year ago and 50% for the five-year average. Leading the state in the corn mature category was the Southwestern Crop Reporting District at 24%. Overall, 64% of the corn crop was rated in good or excellent condition, unchanged from last week. Soybeans in the turning yellow stage were reported at 27%, compared to 38% 1 year ago and 65% for the five-year average. 3% of the state's acreage was reported shedding leaves, and this compares to 6% 1 year ago and 33% normally. Leading the state in the yellowing category was the Eastern Crop Reporting District at 35%. Statewide, 61% of the soybean crop was rated in good or excellent condition, up 1 point from a week earlier. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Nebraska Field Office with the Crop Weather Report for the week ending September 13, 2009. Corn conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Most of the crop is dented. Corn mature was 9% complete, 9 days behind. Soybean conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Over two-thirds of the crop is turning color and are beginning to drop leaves. Sorghum conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Over half the crop is turning color, 11 days behind the average. Nearly a third of the winter wheat has been seeded and is starting to emerge. Proso millet is being harvested in the western counties. Pasture and range conditions continue to rate mostly good or excellent above year-ago levels and well above average. This is Becky Summer with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending September 13, 2009. Maturing field crops made significant progress last week as average temperatures were 4 to 10 degrees above normal across the state. 64% of the soybeans were turning yellow, a 33 percentage point increase over last week. 16% of the soybeans were dropping leaves, that's up 15 points from last week, and identical to last year's pace. 56% of the corn crop was at the dense stage or beyond, 26 points higher than a week ago, however 22 points behind last year, and 26 points behind the five-year average. Statewide, 72% of the corn crop and 68% of the soybeans were rated in good to excellent condition, both unchanged from a week ago. Last week's daytime highs ranged from the low 70s to the low 80s, while nighttime lows were generally in the low 50s to low 60s. Widespread showers and thunderstorms affected parts of central and northwest Minnesota on Tuesday and Friday, with rainfall totals generally between a quarter and 1.5 inches. Little or no rainfall was received across the south. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated at 66% adequate to surplus, down from 73% last week. Last week's rains slowed the small grain harvest. Spring wheat harvest advanced to 68% complete, an increase of 7 percentage points. Barley was 78% harvested, an increase of 8 points. Sugar beet harvest was 4% complete, with 69% of the crop rated in good to excellent condition. Potatoes were 25% harvested by week's end. Sweet corn harvest advanced to 78% complete, and other crops being harvested included dry beans at 10% and canola at 26% complete. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending September 13th, 2009. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Our thanks to the state statisticians in Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, and Minnesota for those updates of commodities in their regions.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Time now to check in on what's been happening in the world of agricultural energies. Mike Barwinski, ethanol trader, joins us from his Louis Dreyfus office in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon.
Well, what's the latest in ethanol trades?
Well, today, as I'm sure you can see, corn is quite strong, up 26 cents now in the piece. So ethanol has been kind of following that as far as that goes. And it has been pricing almost one-to-one for corn the last few months now.
That's an interesting observation. It did unhook for a while, but it seems to have hooked back up to ethanol and crude and corn all are hooked back up together. Does that make it easier for you as an ethanol trader?
Well, it's definitely easier to kind of get in a feel for where the trends are going. I agree that, yeah, you're right. They've definitely all been doing the same thing. It's more of a global commodities trade people are doing versus the dollar than as a pure corn or pure crude fundamentals.
So when you talk about it being something versus the dollar, what are people in? Are these just speculators, in your opinion, that are into the marketplace?
Yeah, speculators or people who are looking for some sort of hedge. They view commodities in general as almost like an asset class, like equities or bonds. They don't necessarily worry about the different supply and demand driven fundamentals of each commodity.
All right. So then, tell me about ethanol and Louis Dreyfus and how the plants have been performing in the last month.
Plants have definitely been performing, and I'd say that's probably the general consensus across for most plants. For a while there, it was dire straits for a lot of the industry. We've hit a nice level here where demand is strong enough. Ethanol has been at a discount to RBOB, so it's made blending sense. So plants and plant economics have been fairly good, I'd say, for the last 3 or 4 months. And you've definitely seen more plants that were maybe slowing down starting to pick up production pace.
Is Louis Dreyfus interested in seeing change from 10% blend to 12 or 13, or I know 15 is a long ways out there, but a 15% possibility?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's good for us. It's good for the ethanol industry in general. People talk about this blend wall that we're going to hit if we keep increasing the amount of ethanol or gasoline. So basically, it's going to reach a point where the government's going to need to allow a higher blend. It's whether it's going to happen now or it's going to happen later. So if it happens now, then definitely. It'll definitely be good for us. Margins should definitely improve.
How much capacity is left in the industry to come up yet after a pretty tough spring?
Well, you still have under construction gallons to come up, more than a billion, and then you have also more than a billion that are actually idled or shut down. So then you have 2+ billion gallons that could come back on in a matter of 6 to 8 months.
Okay, thanks much for joining us today, and we appreciate it, Mike.
All right, thank you, Todd.
Mike Barwinski is with Louis Dreyfus, where he trades ethanol. He's located at their offices in Kansas City. You are listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason, back in 2 minutes with the agricultural weather forecast.
Support for Illinois Public Media comes from Syngenta, featuring AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids, designed to give you up to 38 bushels more per acre if you have rootworms, and an average of 3 more even if you don't. More information on Syngenta's AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids is at agrisuretraits.com.
It's National Cream de Menthe Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1879, Frank Luntz was born, and American entomologist, museum curator, educator, conservationist, and writer. He was one of the leading U.S. entomologists of the first half of the 20th century. He taught that insects were an integral part of the environment. In 1898, William S. Burroughs died. An American inventor, Burroughs invented and manufactured the first adding machine with a printer. In 1904, the first balloon used for meteorological research in the U.S. was released in St. Louis, Missouri. The balloon carried instruments that would return to Earth when the balloon burst. Since the first launch, literally millions of weather balloons have been launched by the National Weather Service and its predecessor organizations. And in 1965, the Green Acres TV show debuted. Running until 1971, the show featured the yearnings of want-to-be farmer attorney Oliver Wendell Douglas, who purchased Sight Unseen, a 160-acre farm in Hooterville. By the way, one of our favorite episodes has Douglas's wife Lisa telling the folks of Hooterville that her husband was a ruthless cow killer. And that's this day in agricultural history.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming now joins us on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media to take up the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Weather here has been gorgeous. Looks like it's going to stay that way for a while. How long?
Well, we're going to see some cooler weather come in over the weekend, late in the weekend. I think through Saturday, conditions are going to be quite pleasant like they are now. There's going to be a system coming very quickly out of the northern plain states, coming on in late in the weekend and early next week that will cool us off and bring us a better chance for shower and thunderstorm activity. Now, we do see plenty of rain over the course of the next few days just south of the Corn Belt Midwest. The southeast United States, some parts of the lower Mississippi Delta areas, some of the Ohio Valley, but that's moisture that's stuck right now to our south and east.
And then if you take a little further look out, what do you see?
Well, I see it definitely maybe a couple of hints of fall coming. We've got this cool front coming Sunday. Then there are indications of another push of cooler air late next week. So temperatures are going to be trending in about 7 to 10 days downward.
And turn your attention to South America for me, please. They're starting into their planting season in Brazil and Argentina.
Yeah, hard to believe it's that time of year already. Right now, the precipitation chances in Argentina look to be the best. Of the areas down south that have the best chance of rain, it'll be Argentina with some good amounts of rainfall expected over the next week to 10 days.
And it's surprising because they're coming out of some pretty dry conditions, aren't they not?
Well, they are. It's been a cold and dry winter in some areas down there, but it looks like at least in the short term, the prospects for rain in Argentina looks better.
And then let's do some globe hopping yet and check in on the Chinese crop. It should be in the very beginning of the throes of harvest.
Well, and when it comes to harvest in China, there you may have some muddy fields in a few areas. While the short term is looking wet, they may have some opportunity for some dryness next week. But at least here between now and the upcoming weekend, rain widespread across most of China.
And then come back home and closer to where you live. Fall field work for the winter wheat crop has progressed pretty sharply over the last week. And will producers be able to continue that process?
They will. In fact, nearly ideal weather for that. Temperatures aren't too hot. They're very comfortable. There hasn't been much in the way of any real significant wind. So conditions there, not bad. Of course, they would like to maybe in some areas have a little more moisture in the ground, better soil moisture, but all in all, they should continue with good progress.
Don, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.